This podcast is a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to find out more. 50 years after the events of the final Harry Potter books, and Harry Potter is now headmaster of Hogwarts, ready to usher in a brand new generation of witches and wizards. My name's Radio Mike, and I love Harry Potter. In fact, I love Harry Potter so much that when I was a kid, I wrote an entire series of fan fiction books based on Hogwarts. This is book one in that series. Welcome to Harry Potter and the Boys. Hello, Rita Skeeters, and welcome to Harry Potter and the Boys, Australia's only Harry Potter fan fiction podcast. Zach Miller is back.
It's a pleasure to be here, Mikey. Thanks for having me back.
Thank you for coming back.
One of my favourite podcasts.
I thought you would have been so ashamed after the first time that you appeared on this that you just would never want to come back, but here you are.
My Felch references, there were a couple of others, like struggling to pronounce some of the words that a 13-year-old wrote, but no, I'm back. I'm with a vengeance.
Yeah, I
really love this pod. I've been binging it lately.
Thanks, man. And what was the chapter you were on, just so we can refresh?
So I was, I think it would have been chapter 5, where I think we saw Hagrid for the first time in 50 years.
And he'd gained a lot of weight.
He wasn't in a good way.
Yeah. Well, depends. No, don't fat shame him.
No. It just seemed as though potentially. Yeah, you're right.
No. But he did mentally, it didn't seem
there
like.
There were a lot of things that weren't, you know, just a bit NQR with our boy Hagrid. So, and such is the theme with most of the recurring characters.
Yes. So. The returning characters. And you said you've been binging it. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. You've had some awesome guests on, some very funny takes. So
cool. The Notebook is also back. Yes. Zach brought a notebook for the first time.
I just like to jot down, some ideas that I've had during, like when I'm listening, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll pinch that. I'll pinch this.
Okay.
And I'd hate to, regurgitate some of the topics you've already spoken about, because I'm sure I was thinking about like who's the audience for this podcast, because I'm someone who likes Harry Potter,
yeah,
but is still learning a bit about the lore. So when you are discussing it with your guests,
yeah,
I'm like, great, ah, oh, that's why, and it's piecing this absolute puzzle together.
Oh wow.
Whereas I think if you're listening to an Australian's parody of a story that you read as a kid and probably know backwards already, and you're like this far down the rabbit hole as a listener and an enjoyer of Harry Potter, all this shit is just like, yeah, no, like, yeah, no shit, Snape's thing is a doe because he loved Lily.
Yeah, right, okay.
So I'm trying not to be too fanboy, but at the same time, it's like one of my favorite parts of the
Some of that stuff, you're having these light bulb moments. So
completely.
Okay. Yeah, great. Well, I love that. And so do we go through some of your notes, or do you just want to, again, just take them as they come?
I think they'll come up organically. Okay. I did want to say that I do not have a song that I wrote about Harry Potter in 2007.
A few episodes ago, Jack Post did have a Harry Potter theme song.
However, there was a kid in year 4 who did. And I'm just blown away by how many people have Harry Potter related songs.
Name him.
His name's Ben.
Ben.
Benjamin Lacuda.
Hey. Great kid. Jump on the pod, Ben.
Yeah. And I remember we used to do book reports, really quick aside.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd have to do like 3 activities, earn up to 50 points. Each thing gets a certain amount of points. And everyone is just like, they do a Venn diagram of good and bad, or like whatever. It's just like bullshit, fluffy summaries.
A Venn diagram of good and bad. So one side's good, one side's bad. So then is the middle good the and bad? Like,
you know, there's some shades of gray. Yeah, absolutely.
Just like in real life.
Hey, mate, he lives there.
So I think Venn diagram is not what you were supposed to say.
Not
there.
Really. Why it wasn't? What's the other one where it's like a
pie chart?
Whatever.
Just thinking of stuff you do at school. Pie charts.
Exactly, like grade 4 stuff that you think like this is advanced shit. But so everyone's got these like, you know, relatively crappy book reports, and his dad was a sound producer. So he's pulled out like this genuinely good song about Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Right.
But I wish I still knew the lyrics to. But man, I've got the tune. It was something like, Harry Potter, as you know him, he's a boy, not a man. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. And I was like, it lives with me.
It that sounds like it's haunting you. Yeah. Like your whole life, this song just plays on repeat in your
head. It comes up now and again. I remember, good chuckles back then.
Yeah, wow. There's always that kid who has a dad who's like too good at the school assignments. Like my dad, like he's quite a good carpenter. Like he's not a carpenter, but he has a lot of design tech skills. Yeah. And we had to make a shield for history. I don't know what that taught us. Just make a shield.
That's classic.
Yeah.
Just a shield? You didn't get to make like swords or anything?
No, just make a shield.
All defensive here.
Yeah, all defensive. And people would come in with just like, they've cut out a circle out of cardboard and drawn in crayon with it. My dad carves a shield out of wood, sands it, polishes it, paints it professionally, goes to Bunnings.
This is a classic, like dad does the whole project. Yeah. And basically it looks like you've walked off the set of Vikings.
And you're like, I just put this together on the weekend. Yeah. And it's like so obvious that like my dad has done this, because how could a like 13-year-old child make this professional shield?
Here's the decision a teacher has to make is, do I give this kid top marks?
Yeah.
Or, you know, do I give it to the kid who clearly made it themselves?
Because then if like, you know, if for whatever reason your dad's not around, or like your dad doesn't have those skills,
or maybe
even
your mum's the carpenter. Yeah, we're progressive.
Yeah, and then how can you grade a kid down for doing a shitty job on a design tech kind of thing?
He's actually outsourcing, which is a brilliant initiative for a 10-year-old.
That's true. That's business minded.
Feels like we've gone slightly off track.
We are off track. We have there's one segment that I've launched in the past few weeks that you would know. It's called Potter or Notter. Cue Sting.
Potter or Notter.
So Potter or Notter, people are really liking Potter or Notter. Lots of people are commenting, hey, I'm 2 for 2 on Potter or Notter. Someone did send in, I can't remember this person's name, but they did send in, hey Mike, I think Potter or Notter should have more than one. Like I think people want to play along.
Like a best of three, people, it gets the audience involved. This is a classic radio trope too. So
get ready, because we've got 3 Potter or Notters this week. Oh shit,
because I had listened recently, last 2 weeks, both not Potter. So I was like, well, this week's got to be Potter.
Ooh, and I'm like,
this is just going to be a breeze, because I haven't read the books, shamefully.
Yeah.
Watched the movies, enjoyed them, yada, yada.
Okay. Well, so how it works is I read an excerpt from a book, could be Potter, could be Notter. Mm-hmm. That's why it's called Potter or Notter. And like pretty obvious, really.
Yep.
And
I was able to piece that together.
All character names I will change to Harry Potter themed characters. So that's where the challenge is. You have to tell me, is it Potter or Notter? You ready for number one?
Yeah, let's ride.
All right, here we go. Potter or Notter, number 1 of 3. Harry was shocked. A name designated not to be spoken indicated the highest degree of disgrace. Is that Potter or Notter?
I mean, that's tricky. I feel like it's a red herring, because I'm thinking that he's not meant to say Voldemort. Are we allowed to say that on the podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
I don't know.
He doesn't exist in our world. Yeah, it's a fiction book, so you can say whatever you want, actually.
Okay, no, that's good to clarify, because, again, haven't read the book, so I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it was, you know, how far that went. I'm going to say Notter.
You're correct. And that was a red herring. I saw name not to be spoken. I thought he's going to fall for this hook.
You know why? Because it's he who shall not be named. I'm Rowling's not going to, you know.
Change it up. So that was actually from The Giver by Lois Lowry, which is a great kids book that you should check out.
Ready? You should get extra points if you pick where it's actually from.
Yeah, you should. We'll try that with the next.
I mean, people playing at home, I'm not going to get these. But
This is Potter or Notter. Here's the second one. Play along at home, of course. They had everything they wanted, but they also had a secret, and their greatest fear was that somebody would discover it. Potter or Notter?
Okay, this is broad. They had everything they wanted, but their greatest fear...
They had everything they wanted, but they also had a secret, and their greatest fear was that somebody would discover it.
I'm going to say it's Potter.
Okay, any logic or just a 50-50?
It's a 50-50 game, and sometimes you've just got to say, look, he's going to put something in. If it's from Harry Potter, I'd say he doesn't want to have anything that's too obviously from the world.
Right.
And I'm like, this is a very broad quote. Look, it could be from anything. I'm struggling a little bit. There's not even a character reference.
You're continuing the trend of everyone always getting them right. That is Potter. That's from chapter one. It actually says the Dursleys had everything they wanted, but they had also had a secret, which is the Wizarding Harry connection.
I was trying to think like which character that could be. And yeah, the Dursleys, those cheeky buggers.
Here's our final Potter or Notter.
Mm-hmm.
Harry's eyes widened. That was a terrible thing to say. Even when he was a slave as a young boy on Tatooine. Potter or Notter?
Well, I hate to say, I don't want to use any of the information that, you know, the listeners may not have, but there is a Star Wars book sitting on the coffee table in this room.
I found these like junior Star Wars books and while you were in the room, I was like, oh shit, I have to do Potter or Notter. And I just was opening one.
I'm looking at Mike like, well, that's Notter.
And then the obvious Tatooine reference really didn't help.
So that's Star Trek for those playing it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's another edition of Potter or Notter, the first ever threesome version.
I like the threesome. You know, everyone gets a feed, and that's great.
Before we get into the fanfic, I want to ask you, where are you at? Like, what do you think about the book as it's progressing? Do you have any theories, thoughts, concerns, queries?
You know what? At this point, it's hard to have too many theories about what's happening because so much happens in every chapter.
And like, so little happens. It's a bit, it goes both ways.
Like, that's true. Like, I'm not seeing a lot of character development, but I am seeing a lot of death and despair. And again, I keep thinking about you and your mates in, you know, year four or whatever, just delivering these haymakers to your classroom, everyone pissing themselves because nothing is funnier than farts and dying and explosions.
It's so true. When you said,
I'm just imagining you guys killing it. My question was, and this is one of the, I was going to save it to the end, but I want to know, have you changed the name Derek?
Yes, I have changed. The Derek is not the original name of the character.
Now, was this Derek in your class? Because I'm imagining a chorus of your students, like 20 kids just being like, Derek is a disgrace to all wizards.
Yeah, it and played out exactly like that.
And like in the corner, was he loving it or was he like...
Well, I think there was a character in the class that had the name that Derek's name was in the original. Like a lot of names are changed.
I assume
this.
He could take it.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I will say this. I am currently friends with the person Derek is based on.
Wow.
And I saw that person a few weeks ago, actually. And like, I don't know if that person remembers this. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sure he's tried to bury it deep within
it. And now we're doing a whole podcast about it.
It's so meta as well because they say, Derek pretends that he loves it, but really.
and like, there was a teacher in the class watching this all go down, just like it's Harry Potter in the books doing it. Like, but yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm sure it murdered back in the day.
Oh, absolutely, man.
Killer laugh. So.
Well, should we, do you think we should jump into it?
Let's dive in.
It is the point of the podcast.
I'm sure there's some listeners that are pulling their hair out at this point.
So I believe, do you remember what happened at the end of the last chapter?
So as I remember, it was the first Quidditch match.
Yes, that is correct.
And the author, I think, was really dismantling the logic behind this game, which I will say, like Quidditch, and look, I'm a big, like I go along for the ride with movies.
Yeah.
Like, whatever it is, I'm like, yeah, you know, it's or a book. Like
suspension of disbelief.
Exactly. Let's just let it play out. But if we do want to nitpick, Quidditch is literally the stupidest game ever invented.
It is.
Like she's, like I don't know what J.K. Rowling's experience is with sports.
Yeah.
But I think it's clear she has no idea.
Yeah. Like it is stupid because they even say in the books, like, some Quidditch games have gone for like weeks because they just couldn't catch the snitch and that's the only way to end the game.
And
like,
as if no one thought in the Wizarding world to be like, you know what? People don't want to watch this, but like it's the worst
marketing.
Should
we have a time limit?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe we just get like 12 seekers on the field.
Yeah, right?
I don't fully understand it. Not only that, but you've got like an 11-year-old boy out there playing a full contact sport with guys.
It's worse than full contact. It's like full contact. Yeah. Like you're allowed to smack a hard ball into someone's face with a bat.
With people who are clearly like better Magicians?
Wizards?
Wizards. Magician.
Like, it's like if in baseball, the purpose was to actually hit the ball into someone's head and knock them out.
Except that person is like 4'3" and
a worse 38 magician
kilos.
Than you. All right. So we are on, I believe it's chapter 13.
Yep. The really weird warning.
Great chapter name.
I don't hate that chapter name. I can see that.
The really weird warning.
It could be the weird warning, and then it's pretty weak.
I think the really, for lack of a better word, really enunciates how weird this warning is. Like, but let's find out. I suppose.
Right, let's ride in. I am really hoping. Really?
Yes.
That there will be more sexual tension between Harry Potter and
Madame Hooch,
Madame Cooch. we'll see why he's called the master of giving head. chapter 13, the really weird warning. The Quidditch match had finally ended. It was seriously such a long match, and seriously, it is actually torture to make young kids play sports for that long. So there might have been an investigation into Harry Potter.
So first of all, we just did dismantle that before the chapter.
We gave it 5 minutes.
It is amazing how, like, a lot of the time in this book, it's like my brain still works the same way as it did back then, because it's like, I'll stop and say something to the guests and then the book will say exactly.
Literally the next discussion is...
It's like in my mind, I feel like I have to explain things to people, but I actually already did in the book.
100%. And also, I mean, if Quidditch didn't come up in every book, I feel like people would bury it a little more too. But the fact that it's just such a prominent sport in that world.
Yeah, totally. Also, I love that it just says there might have been an investigation into Harry Potter.
Yep.
It doesn't say Harry Potter. It says Harry Potter.
All lowercase. Michael dropped the snitch and ran through the crowd of Gryffindors surrounding him. He ran to the hospital wing, but Hagrid was blocking the entrance.
Which is very easy for Hagrid to do, considering his size.
He's got a gravitational pull.
Yeah.
Come to my hut. 2 o'clock in the morning.
This is Hagrid talking.
I'm assuming this is Hagrid. I'll whack you in the head with a fish. He said, okay. That's good stuff from Hagrid.
I think this is a reference to the Amanda show. Do you remember the Amanda show?
I do. With Nickelodeon.
Amanda Bynes.
Drake Bell. Josh Peck.
Yeah, before Drake and Josh. So I'm pretty sure there's a character in that says, I'll whack you on the head with a fish. And what I've done, similar to if you heard a few episodes ago with the Family Guy thing, I think that was Ruben's episode. I've taken that exactly and just copied it.
And pasted it straight into my story.
A straight copy and paste.
But so still got the laugh from the crowd because they probably...
So that just goes to show, if you don't have any ideas, just plagiarize.
From the Amanda show.
From the Amanda show and other shows.
And mainly the Amanda show, I would have thought.
Yeah.
he said Michael made a mental note to tell everyone that they had to go to Hagrid's that night.
Okay.
He said. There's no full stop. Therefore.
Oh, right, yeah.
So,
Hagrid is telling them to come to his hut at 2 o'clock in the morning, which is very suspicious.
Yeah.
Possibly to give them the really weird warning that has been previously mentioned in the chapter title.
A slight allusion to that.
very slight.
Yep.
Okay.
He entered the hospital wing. The rest of the boys were awake except for Lockie, but Derek was there too.
Okay.
What's he doing here? Asked Michael. He saw Lockie fall off his broom and ran to help him. But then, ... Sam said. Then what? Asked Michael. He sort of stabbed himself, said Rob. He stabbed himself? Okay, said Michael. But indeed, Derek was on a bed lying down and sticking out of his chest was a wand.
Lockie's fallen off his broom, as we saw in the last chapter, and obviously what we didn't see. Derek runs out. You assume he tries to do magic, but he perhaps trips over. The wand goes through his chest and punctures his heart.
It's a classic wizarding injury, Quidditch injury. You see it all the time. It's like an ACL.
Yeah. nothing Madame Pomfrey can't fix up, I assume.
Yeah, no doubt. I also mentioned that all the characters, all these boys, I'm still trying to get my head around them, but I will say... it's easier to follow than the Hobbit's dwarves. You know what I mean? Right. All the different dwarves.
I haven't read the Hobbit. Is it?
Gloin, Gorstorff. There's like 15 Hobbit.
Well, at least dwarves. Mine are fucking normal names. Am I right?
Yeah, nailed it. Burn.
Actually, yeah. Okay.
Cop it, Tolkien. What's wrong with Lockie? Asked Michael. He's been asleep ever since he came in here, answered Oliver. What's wrong with Lockie? Asked Michael. He's been asleep ever since he came in here, answered Luke.
So Lockie has a history in this book of like being asleep, having weird dreams about weird different characters that it's quite foreboding. So, you know, that might be a plot point.
He's the Jeff of this band.
What's the Jeff?
Yeah, wake up, Jeff.
Wiggles reference there from Zach.
I'm really hoping that comes up later. Lockie was still having the same dream. There this time, the hairy man was pointing at Lockie. Suddenly, the room went dark.
Ooh.
He couldn't see anything. He felt someone tapping on his shoulder. Then he awoke. He saw the room emptied except for Derek, who was prodding him with his wand.
Is this the same wand that was recently, assumingly, taken out of his chest?
I assume it's still in his chest. And he's just like leaning forward like, oh, bruh.
So yeah, Lockie, this hairy man is recurring a lot. We don't know what his deal is. And the basilisk with the star on its head as well. So there's lots of things happening here.
Yep, the Harry Potter of basilisks. Mm. Get up, he said. Time for Quidditch competition. Get up, the Quidditch competition. The boys had completely forgotten. It must have been Sunday now. Lockie got out of his bed and ran to the Gryffindor common room where he met the rest of the boys who were ready. Sam was holding a Nimbus 2222.
2222.
Tom had a Nimbus 1832.
Which you'd assume is worse than the Nimbus 2000. So
well, I think, well, yeah.
Tom's using a very old broom, like, and his twin brother Sam has one that's 400 points better than his.
Well, presumably these brooms came out the year that they're titled, I thought.
Well, I don't think so, because
2000 would have been 95 or whatever.
Yeah, the first Harry Potter book is set in 1991.
Right.
But I think around the 90s, a lot of things would be like, you know, Turbo 2000, just because we were coming up to the year 2000.
The Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, I guess so, sort of.
Not really 2000, though.
The Millennium Falcon, yeah. But so I think like the Nimbus 2000 from J.K. Rowling's point of view, I think was just sort of like a reference to that. And then the 2001 as well.
But also, if we can assume like the jump from the Nimbus 2000 to the 2001 was significant, or at least you believe so.
Yeah.
So the jump from the 1832 to the 2222.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a horse versus a car.
Well, probably a horse versus a spaceship.
Anyway, so we're not done with the various brooms. Rob had a Nimbus 2. You wouldn't, again, Rowling probably didn't go into this detail
about everyone's broom. I think I kind of liked the idea that I liked the idea that there were different broom companies, but I've for some reason just stuck with Nimbus.
Clearly the premier brand.
Yeah. Can I tell you a quick fact for everyone listening, a good little pop culture thing?
Absolutely.
Nimbus is also the name of the cloud that Goku from Dragon Ball Z flies on.
Of course.
Nimbus is a flying cloud.
That's his little yellow cloud.
Yeah. So Goku will usually say Nimbus, and that's how it comes through.
Does Nimbus mean flight in
I'm not
Latin
sure
or something? Because that's
I think it probably does mean something like that. Yeah. That's a little pop culture cross reference there.
When you do a Dragon Ball Z fan fiction or Dragon Ball fan fiction, I'd like to go into why Goku needed the Nimbus at all.
Yeah, because he could fly
he
without
can fly.
It. Yeah, well, it's a good question.
Instant transmission, baby.
Sometimes it's just nicer to fly on a cloud.
I can imagine. The cloud really dropped off after like the
season one
Saiyan saga.
Yeah.
Lockie had a Firebolt 360.
So this is where I liked being creative. I'm like, oh, what would the next Firebolt be?
Yep.
Firebolt 360. Xbox. Sort of like Xbox.
Yep. Yeah. I can see that. Luke had a Nimbus 2190.
Okay, so again, we've gone back to Nimbus.
And we're really specific on the model too.
Yeah, I kind of just like, I thought it would be like, you know, Ron has a clean sweep 7 and Fred's got a Comet 65.
These are all great names.
And now Nimbus has just monopolized the market. It's with really like a model every year.
This is the Apple of, yeah, of broomsticks. Just
new iterations.
Brilliant marketing.
You probably pay a contract like $79 a month and it's connected to 4G and it flies.
Yeah, well, if there's one thing we know, they wouldn't be 4G because like, for whatever reason, the Wizarding World hates technology.
Yes, that is true.
And Michael had the fastest... Of course you did. Love yourself. Michael had the fastest broomstick in the world and Nimbus 2325.
Wow.
So that's catchy as well.
The Nimbus 2325.
Well, what you get with the 2325 is what you see.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just the fastest in the world.
I bet.
The competition was starting. The boys walked downstairs. So we've got a second... Quidditch match.
We've been talking about a Quidditch competition for a few chapters, and I think that's different to just a Quidditch match.
Great. So more Quidditch.
More broomsticks, at least.
I see. Then Michael remembered something. They had forgotten to go to Hagrid's that night.
Oh, shit.
Oh, they're in trouble. He wasn't sure what would happen.
Okay. Well, anything could happen with Hagrid.
It's very broad. Once they had reached the Quidditch pitch, Tim ran up to them. Okay, first it's the three chasers. Get up there, Tom, Sam, and Luke.
Okay.
Tom, Sam, and Luke flew up to the pitch where another 10 chasers were standing there.
Oh, God. This chapter is just going on and on.
Just asking a lot of the reader and not really leaving much to creative liberty either. Just very specific. There was Sam Banning, Nick, so many characters as well. Sam Banning, Nick Caron, Hilda Hadley from Slytherin. There were three Hufflepuffs, and they had never seen the three Ravenclaws. One of them, which had a name tag, which said, "Hi, I'm Jonas."
Not even just Jonas. Hi, I'm Jonas. Yeah.
Very friendly. Of course, Derek was there too, because he was the only player in the expelled Quidditch team. He had to play every sport.
Yeah. Every spot, I think. Derek is the only player on the team for his house. Because he's the only person in his house, which is awful.
Tough break for the expelled house. "All right, everyone," shouted Madam Hooch. "The aim of the game is to throw the quaffle through the hoop and try and use dark magic to either obliterate or blow it up or implode it into an alternative universe."
Wow.
You'll only get one turn. Remember, dark magic only. Dark, dark, dark. All italicized. So really
emphasis on the school is really encouraging students to use dark magic a lot now.
Harry is pretty liberal as a...
Yeah, he's progressive.
Definitely. He's like, look, at dark, like, gray.
What's the difference?
It's all good, baby.
There's gray area, in the Venn diagram from before.
I might do a book report on this.
Yeah.
Make my little Venn diagram. "If light magic is used, you will most likely be expelled from Hogwarts."
I'm sorry, you used Wingardium Leviosa? You're expelled.
Loser.
Yeah, you idiot.
If you're expelled from Hogwarts, you just end up in Derek's house?
No, I think that's being actually expelled. Oh, okay. Yeah, if a teacher expels you, you get expelled. Yep. If the Sorting Hat tries to expel you, you go into the expelled house.
For the record, very difficult to get expelled from Hogwarts.
It is, yes.
Like, has anyone ever? Like, Hagrid...
Hagrid did, and he was framed. Poor Hagrid.
Like, yeah, that's a tough gig. They brought him back to be a groundskeeper.
Yeah,
like, he's still around.
Also, like, would you have believed that Hagrid opened the Chamber of Secrets? Like, what does he have to do with...
Like this bumbling, hairy dude. Yeah. I didn't Third know anything year. About it.
I swear I didn't.
It's me, fucking. You me better spider. Go. All right. "If light magic is used, you'll be likely to be expelled. Now, if you fail to do this, you will go to down to Professor Longbottom's office to get an I failed miserably sticker."
Wow.
"Go." Okay, we're off. Sam, Tom, Luke, Derek, and the boy with the name tag that read, "Hi, I'm Jonas," started to fly down and reach the 9 quaffles.
There's 9 quaffles, and it's like the person that got their last. It's a bit of a Hunger Games situation.
A dodgeball type.
Yeah, probably dodgeball.
But Hunger Games, but it's close to Hunger Games because someone will die.
Possibly, yes.
Judging by the themes of this
book.
Fan fiction. The person that got there last out of the 10 would automatically be disqualified.
Yeah.
The boys looked up. One Ravenclaw had fallen asleep. The three Hufflepuffs were signing autographs.
Okay.
Who wants a Hufflepuff autograph?
Yeah.
And the other Ravenclaw was doing what seemed to be a wizard crossword, which was a crossword that was unsolvable in every way, but there will be more about them in the fourth or fifth book.
There you go.
Very self-aware.
A technique Rowling never used. Like, all right, so the diary in this book is actually a Horcrux, but there'll be more about them in book six.
Well, and if the closest she might do is, they would learn more about that in their fourth year. Yeah, or like, yeah, or maybe, that's some fourth year level magic.
Yeah,
like,
that's
callback.
Yeah. But that kind of works in the world of the book, whereas this is just like, hey, in book five,
immediately takes you out of the story. It's like a hard break. The Slytherins, however, were right behind. Tom and Luke reached the Quaffle first. Then the boys supposedly named Jonas and then Sam.
Okay.
All right.
It is supposedly Jonas, but we can never know for sure.
He says, my name is Jonas. Yeah. But we can't trust him.
Yeah.
The three Slytherins reached the Quaffles next. Madam Hooch stood up. Okay, 10 seconds left to get a Quaffle. She then counted down from 10. Still, no one had moved. She announced that the three Hufflepuffs and the two remaining Ravenclaws were out. That's lucky because now I don't have to write about them, which ultimately makes it easier for me.
Yes, it does. And all of us.
Absolutely. Make it easier for me too. I'm losing track of my characters. They all ran down to Professor Longbottom's office, in which he was waiting for them to give them their stickers that they had been awarded.
So they just get their I failed miserably. Yeah, which is a horrible reinforcement for the kids.
A lot of tough love from Harry's Hogwarts.
Imagine at your primary school, like you're in your school sports, you do your race, first place gets their first ribbon, and then you've got to get I failed miserably.
I think maybe that's where like this Harry Potter's coming from. He's like, look, I literally had the worst schooling experience you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
I had the most powerful.
And I turned out fine. Yeah,
exactly. Look at me now. Toughen these kids up. He welcomed them in and closed and locked the door. Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
That's weird. Oh, God.
Jeez. Tom had a turn at throwing the Quaffle through the hoop. He made it through. But he had never used any dark magic.
Ah, the one rule.
The one rule.
And she did stress it so much.
She said dark. She said, three times she said. He failed in his task. He was also sent to Neville's office. Sam, who was very good at defense against the dark arts /farts, used a spell called Obliviatro.
That's a Mikey original.
Nice. That's actually not too bad.
Obliviatro.
That sounds like some...
You assume it sends someone to oblivion.
I would have thought
probably
so.
Probably worse than the killing curse.
Yeah, that's the ball was... Sorry, let me just try that again. The ball was the destroyed.
It does say the ball was not destroyed. I don't know if the quaffle is a ball, but the quaffle ball, was destroyed is I think
the
what
ball
that.
Was the destroyed. So I assume then destroyed?
Yeah, probably that. Probably.
He
that.
Won 9 out of 10 points from the judges, who were, by the way, parentheses,
what,
by the way.
What is this?
It was your critique here, like this makes just as much sense as a Quidditch. Normal Quidditch game. The judges who were, by the way, Harry Potter, the Minister of Magic, and Professor Granger.
Okay.
Hermione, great. We don't know who the Minister of Magic is.
As far as I know, we don't know.
Yeah, right. The boy supposedly called Jonas threw his quaffle. It went through the hoop, and he pointed his wand at it and said, John. The quaffle suddenly transformed into a man who was probably named John.
All right, stop. So... There is now, we assume this spell has always existed, but it raises a lot of questions that there is a spell that the incantation is just John and it turns anything into a living human being who you assume is called John.
Now, is it the same John every time? Is it different Johns?
And apparently it's dark magic, but I guess it is. Like, if you could just point at my drink bottle over there and turn it into a living consciousness. That's pretty dark.
That's pretty wild. I guess is again from like, you know, what's the spell that you turn things, like you turn your rat into a cup?
Veriverto.
Yeah.
But it's like, there should be a sequel to this that's Harry Potter and the Army of the Johns, and it's just all the things that have been turned into John. That's finally like questioning why they're there.
I mean, that was an opportunity for Voldemort if he wanted to raise an army.
It's like the Clone Wars in Star Wars.
Honestly.
The John Wars.
Okay.
Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Johns.
Attack of the Johns.
Oh, God. Okay.
Johnosis is where they were created. Yeah. So, deep cut. The man looked out of place. He walked away. John received 6 out of 10 points because of his great skill in transfiguration.
I mean, you would think that'd be a lot of skill to give something consciousness.
I'd say that's more impressive than blowing something up.
Yeah.
And again, it's 6 out of 10.
So many ethical questions with that spell. And also, if someone is just called John and you're like, hey, John, and you happen to be holding your wand, are you using that spell accidentally?
Yeah,
so many
probably.
Questions. And you don't have to have the answers to these questions, Zach. It's okay.
That's good. Trust me, I've got no answers. Luke failed his throw too and went to Neville's office. The three Slytherins all passed and received a 3 out of 10 because, semicolon, according to Harry, Slytherin is the crappiest house for idiots like Malfoy, who is an idiot.
Imagine that. That's so immature.
It's like, that's his, he's like written it under the score too.
Yeah, like everyone's like applauding the Slytherin. It's like, yeah, that was good. It's 3 out of 10 because Slytherin's a crap house.
Slytherin's just shit. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, they could have done anything. Yeah. I'm not impressed. And 2 out of 10, parentheses, because I don't give a damn what Malfoy's father thought. Yeah. All right. Snap that. And 4 out of 10, because Harry needed to use the bathroom.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Just another Dunny joke. Yeah. Derek threw his quaffle next. He was aiming at the hoop. His eyes turned green and changed his aim. He was aiming at Lockie.
Ooh.
Ooh. Who was waiting on the ground. The ball hit Lockie on the head. He received an 8 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
Harry Potter stood up and clapped for Derek. He then fell over and broke his arm. Now, is that Harry breaking his arm?
I think I would say it's Harry.
Yeah, right.
So but then we know both of those characters are very clumsy.
This is also the first time Harry's stood up in this event and clapped. Like, he's so impressed.
And for Derek, who he constantly berates.
He's unimpressed with most of Derek's behavior.
Yeah.
He then fell over and broke his arm. Lockie was having the dream again now.
Oh, gosh. Give us answers, Mike.
Exactly. So many folds to this. This time, the hairy man was slowly walking up to him. The dream never stopped. The man just kept getting closer and closer.
Wow.
Meanwhile, back on the pitch.
Wow.
The scores were Gryffindor, 9. Slytherin, 9. Ravenclaw, 6. Hufflepuff, 0. Expelled, 8.
Cool. Those are some good scores.
Those are great. I'm glad we got through all those just to sort of reset the table for everyone.
Yeah.
Madam Hooch stood up again. The next challenge is the beta challenge. Only one beta from each team is allowed. Wow, you really drew this one out. No. Rob Squidvius?
Squidvius Mooney, who we were introduced to last chapter. Yeah.
Is he a squid?
Who
I'm
is
not sure.
The twin brother of John Mooney.
Right,
John
yes.
and Squidvius. So that goes into the John theory from before. We might have to do a whole ep on that.
Well, there could be that. And we've got multiple twins with the-
Sam and Tom.
Sam and Tom and the Gemini,
yeah.
Jones.
Yeah.
A lot happening here. So Squidvius Mooney, parentheses, I'm beginning to hate this character because his name is really hard to type.
Squidvius is hard to type.
Yeah, a lot of spell check there. A Hufflepuff, Derek, and a Ravenclaw who had a name tag that said, hi there, my name is Ondo.
What's with the Hufflepuffs and wearing name tags?
I love a name
Ondo
tag.
Ondo and Jonas.
And also the narrator still isn't convinced that Yeah, you're not going to take their word. Can't trust the Ravenclaw. They flew up with their beta clubs. Now, you have to hit someone. The points are 4 for first place, 3 for second place, 2 for third place, and -1 for last place. Go, Madam Hooch said. I will say that there are 5 teams, though.
Yeah, there are.
So I don't want to draw any holes in this flawless sport. Rob flew over to Squid and whacked him. He fell off his broom. Ondo hit the Hufflepuff.
Wasn't Ondo the Hufflepuff?
No, I think it was the Ravenclaw.
Ondo was the Ravenclaw.
Sorry,
right.
he whacked the
unnamed Hufflepuff.
The unnamed Hufflepuff. I do enjoy that you're like, look, I've got so many characters floating around.
This character might be called Ondo. He does have a name tag. This character, no name. Don't Hufflepuff, worry about it.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Ondo flew over to Rob. He hit him with his club, but Rob blocked the hit. They began to have a sort of sword fight about for 3 or 4 minutes. Now, where would they get the swords, Mikey?
I think they're having a sort of sword fight with the beta bats.
Right. Sorry, I immediately thought to when we were kids and you go to the bathroom. After that, Ondo threw his club at Rob. He fell off his broom. Nobody realized that Derek was still on his broom until Harry Potter said, 10 points to Derek because he had a great tactic of hiding in the corner like I always do when I'm facing Lord Voldemort because I am so scared of him and heaps of people, including my mother, my father, Cedric Diggory, Sirius Black, and Dumbledore got killed trying to defend me.
That's some cutting edge satire.
That's the
awareness of Harry of how much of a coward he is.
I think this is what's bubbling to the surface. He's thinking, oh, everyone I ever loved
died for me,
including Cedric.
Lots of trauma.
After the second round, the scores were Gryffindor 12, Slytherin 8, Ravenclaw 10, Hufflepuff 2, Expelled 18. I'm struggling to keep up with the scores.
Mm.
Expelled was in first place. Of course, usually loads of people would be cheering, but no one else was in Expelled, so it was quiet. I didn't even think about that. That's
poor
great.
Derek. No support.
He's loving it, though. Yeah. Madam Hooch stood up yet again. This is the most screen time she's had in...
Since book one.
60 years, and technically.
Yeah, the entire franchise. This is her starring moment.
Totally. She really dropped off. Was she still in the books quite a lot?
No. I don't think she was even mentioned in the last few books. I reckon after the second book, she was barely in it.
Because she had a good run in that first...
Yeah.
Like, she was, she's one of the teachers. I kind of know her personality. And
oh, yeah. Bloody Madam Hooch.
I guess like this, but how much attention do you want to give a sports teacher?
She's a glorified PE teacher.
She's just a PE teacher. So glorious.
Oh, God. Madam Hooch.
No, but I love
why it. Is she Madam Hooch? Why do all the other ones get to be called Professor?
It's because she's not a professor.
Yes, madam.
She did not go to the University of
But there's no
Quidditch.
Wizarding University. Isn't J.K. There? Rowling has stated that. There is no... Anyone can be a teacher at Hogwarts. Like, in the fifth book, it's not in the movie, but when Professor Trelawney, the divination teacher, is fired by Professor Umbridge.
Yep.
You know who takes her place?
Who?
Firenze, the centaur that Harry meets in the forest in book one.
What?
Yeah, that's what happens in the book. Literally anyone can
so
teach
So he just like
Hogwarts.
Trots up and he's like, all right, guys, everyone open your book up to 403.
Yes, pretty much. And it adds so many unanswered questions. Like, you'd assume he's getting paid, but does that mean the centaurs have an economy? Do they have the same currency as us? Do they just go to a cafe and get a coffee? Like, how does it work?
Well, because they seem to just live in a forest. Why would they care what happens? Exactly. Are they magical?
They have different magic to human wizards. But right. Yeah. It's so weird. Anyone can teach at this school.
It's a challenging magic system. So Madam Hooch stood up yet again. Okay, now we will have the last challenge, which will be the Seeker Challenge.
Makes sense.
I bet whatever happens in this challenge, you just won't win matter. Automatically. Yeah. it won't matter because Michael flew up to the pitch along with Alexander Rock, Derek, a Hufflepuff, and a Ravenclaw named Ching Chong.
Okay, so...
Clearly...
Probably a... taking the piss of Cho Chang.
I think that's what you're trying to do here. I'm laughing at the absurdity of that.
Probably doesn't hit too well, and I wouldn't write that now.
Obviously, you wouldn't write that now. Nevertheless, it is a critique of what was back in the day, people, you know, also had that issue with Cho Chang.
Yeah, I always thought it was funny, even not funny. I always thought it was weird as a kid that she named a character Cho Chang.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I wouldn't write that now.
If we have any like Chinese listeners or, I mean, this could be, is Cho Chang meant to
be? I think she's supposed to have Chinese heritage.
Yeah. I'd love to hear. You know,
if that maybe is that a name?
Yeah, it could be a super common name.
We don't know.
A couple of fucking boring white guards.
Who wrote Harry Potter fan
way
fiction.
Out of our depth here and steaming ahead, but trying to do the right thing. Now, said Madam Hooch, the aim of the game is obviously to catch the snitch before any of the other seekers do. The winner automatically earns 6 points. Go.
Go.
As soon as she said go, am I going to have to keep saying Ching Chong?
Maybe just say
Chong?
Chong.
It just sounds like I'm being maybe a little.
Yeah, no, it is. It is.
As soon as she said go, all the boys flew up and the girl, Chong, flew around quickly looking for the snitch. Michael saw the good light first.
The gold light.
Sorry.
This gold light of the snitch. Yep.
Michael saw the gold light first. He flew off and followed it. Suddenly, another coincidence. The snitch stopped in the air. Michael flew to it and grabbed it. Yeah. That's the other thing about Harry in the first Quidditch match. Sorry to keep deviating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's like so clear that the director's been to like an 11-year-old Harry Potter. I don't know if you remember for the first movie. He's sitting on the wand. It's just like, look like you're angry about what's happening on the pitch.
Yeah.
And he's got to do that like reaction acting. Like he can't say anything. Oh.
Yes, I remember like those shots.
The terrible shots.
Yeah, yeah, they're great.
Whole Quidditch match until he switches on. All right, so yeah, he's automatically got it. As soon as she says go, all the boys and the girl, Chong, flew around quickly looking for the snitch. Michael saw the gold light first, and I'm reading the same thing again.
He's caught the snitch.
He's caught the snitch. Yeah, he shouted as 6 points were added to Gryffindor's score. After the final round, the scores were, this seems very convenient, by the way. It does. Gryffindor 18, Slytherin 8, Ravenclaw 10, Hufflepuff 2, Expelled 18.
Monster effort from Derek to match the top score.
He's never played Quidditch before.
Yeah.
It's going to be safe to assume. Yeah. And he's doing it all on his own. It was a draw. Gryffindor and Expelled were both on 18. Madam Hooch stood up for one last time. The winner will be decided on Christmas Day. A Quidditch match will be played with Gryffindor versing Expelled.
Wow. That'll be 7-1.
This is big. And, you know, then that's a huge draw. The Christmas Day games in the NBA are massive. So I imagine it's the same for the Quidditch League, which there are 5 teams.
Yeah. But aren't these kids on holidays on Christmas? Like forcing them to come back to play a sport? Yeah. Oh, God.
Derek's got to get beat the shit out of by like 5-8 people.
Yeah.
Professor Brown, the divination teacher?
Yeah.
What's divination?
Divination's what Professor Trelawney teaches, so telling the future. So
yep.
And I believe Professor Brown, it may or may not be Lavender Brown from the books. Might be that.
Yep. Came up to congratulate them. She also yelled at them and said, when 10 is reached, one will die.
Now, this sounds like it could be the very weird warning, which is what this chapter was apparently all about.
So it was a big sort of misdirection with this new Quidditch match.
This chapter could have been called the Quidditch competition, but this last line essentially
really sells it. So when 10 is reached, one will die. The boys laughed at her at this idiocy, hit her across the head and farted on her face. Yes, leaving her unconscious on the ground.
And that's an all. Again, I would never write that now. And I don't even particularly find that funny now. That's a horrible thing.
I think I like the hit. I didn't like the hitting. The farting caught me. You're right. Farting is always funny.
But yeah, I would never write that now. And that's just not funny.
Harry Potter and the Woke Boys. The boys went back to the common room and finally went to bed for a nice long sleep.
And is that chapter?
That is the end of the chapter.
All right. Well, pass the laptop over. Thank you for reading.
Thank you very much. You were going for the laptop. I thought it was a handshake. I'm glad
we shook hands. Before we go, I want to open up the emails because, the book's great, but something's happened off off air as well that I wanted to bring up.
Okay, great. This is an email from Amy.
Well, as you know, and as the listeners would know, we have a regular contributor to this show.
Yep.
Amy Albanat is the official correspondent of this podcast.
Yep.
Last week, no email from Amy.
No correspondence.
We wondered what happened to her. Maybe she stopped listening. I don't know.
We crossed live, dead feed.
Dead feed. Yep. Nothing. The worst thing that can happen in radio. We've both done it.
Absolutely. It's killed us in the moment.
Got an email from Amy, Thursday, 4th of February, 12:09, I assume in the afternoon, 5 days ago from the time of recording. Hey, Mike. Sorry for not emailing last week. Of course I'm still listening. Good news. Just couldn't
think of... At least there's one.
Yeah, sorry. At least there's one. Couldn't think of anything interesting enough to email about. Does that say... Is that commentary on the podcast or commentary on her? I don't know.
If there was a Venn diagram, I'd say there's a little bit of both.
Yeah. No, Amy's always got great contributions.
She does, she's got brilliant stuff.
Loving the Potter or Not a segment. Been playing along. I'm on 2 for 2 so far. So great work.
Yep.
Also, love the community Harry Potter crossover with Lee Jordan being Magnitude, the pop guy from Community.
Got great that one. That was funny. I didn't even realize.
Exactly.
10 points to Gryffindor.
Great.
Slytherin wins.
You could have played him. Cheers, Amy, official correspondent of Harry Potter and the Boys.
Oh, nice. So just like more of a check-in.
Everything kind of feels good there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Until I get another email. And I might need to actually find this email.
The suspense is what draws us in.
Oh, so this email actually came through on my contact form on radiomike.com.au. You can find all my contact there.
Nice plug.
This one comes in from Amy Harvey. Amy spelt what I would call the conventional way of spelling it, A-M-Y. Yep. Amy, official correspondent, spells it the French way, A-I-M-E.
The accent there.
Love all Amys. All Amys, welcome to this show.
You love however all you Amys.
Spell it, however you spell
Shumi,
it.
I mean, Shuma,
sure.
Yep, great.
Pola, another great Amy. Winehouse.
Oh, great one.
Great
Amy.
Amy Harvey, she said this. Hi, Mike. Just a quick email because it looks like Amy, with the accent on the E, the French spelling, has dropped the ball a bit.
Ooh.
And you may need a replacement, Amy. I'm pretty qualified. My name is Amy. And I like Harry Potter and the Boys, in brackets.
Nice.
Your book is chaotic and wonderful. Captures the 2007 Year 7 spirit beautifully.
It certainly does.
It's fast becoming a serious contender for my number two favorite Harry Potter fanfic podcast.
That is
number one in Australia.
Nice burn.
So it's her number two favorite, which is also weird.
Well, it sounds like she's your number two Amy off the back of that.
At this stage, yes, but Amy with an AI, Amy, still the official correspondent of the show, but Amy Harvey.
Foreign correspondent
of the show. Thank you. I had nothing. Great. You are now the foreign correspondent. Even if you live in Australia, you are still the foreign correspondent of the show. And I do want to know what is the best Harry Potter fan fiction podcast that she seems to really like.
Yeah, I'd be curious to hear it too. Maybe there can be a cross pollination.
Could be,
of
yeah.
Your two podcasts.
Yeah, crossover episode.
100%.
So the two Amys, looking forward to hearing from you both next week. Zach, any final notes, any thoughts?
Look, I had a couple of questions.
Yeah, hit me.
Just to tail it off. So if people
ask the author, AMA.
Got my notes. Okay, Mike.
Yes.
Where was it? So we've talked a bit about the Quidditch.
Yes.
I asked about the email from Amy. That was a big one. Okay, Mike, is there a tuition fee at Hogwarts?
There is a tuition fee.
Is there really?
I believe
so, why the Dursleys were just like, careful, we can't afford this?
Yes, I think so.
Really?
But Harry could easily afford it because he had all that money that his parents left him.
That's right. And how do you think James got all that money?
James's parents were very successful and wealthy wizards, I believe.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you suggesting that James is in the drug trade or something?
Well, you know
the
what?
The wizard drug trade?
I'm just saying James was a bit of a dog in high school to Snape, as we know.
He's dealing out Felix Felicis on the playground. Here, 100%. Guys, you want to feel lucky?
What's a Felix Felicis?
It's the luck potion that makes all your endeavors succeed. Nice. Yeah.
That would actually be that would be a huge trade.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad. Do we know what the tuition fee was like?
I don't know exactly.
Comparable to a private education.
That could be one of the tasks for either of the Amys this week, if you could find the tuition fee for Hogwarts. Either both of you send it in.
And was Harry on a scholarship, or is he fronting the cash himself?
He's paying for himself with his family money. Jeez, yeah, you'd think they Dumbledore would let him in for free, considering he's raising him to die. Yeah, come me some slack, Dumbledore. Hey, Harry.
I had to pay for my own, like, grooming.
Yeah. Hey, Harry, I'm sorry. Your tuition fee's late again. You might not be able to come back this year.
Yeah, no, you know you're a Horcrux. Yeah. We really need this. Yeah. Okay, that's great. I wanted to know, which book do you think you parodied the most? And I'm sure listeners have got their own ideas of what's had the most content. But when you wrote this, I assume just about every book had been published at this point?
Yeah, I think the last one had come out at this point.
Yeah.
I think this book in particular is definitely a parody of the first one predominantly.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the similar beats.
I guess because they're all coming to, coming to school for the first time.
But I think as the series progresses, there's a bunch of more, like it starts to kind of go in its own direction, but there is still very clear parodies from memory.
Right, because as you said early, you've got multiple books of this.
Yes.
Which is interesting because I would have just burned all my good jokes in like the first three chapters.
Oh, I'm sure everything after this one is just shit.
I mean, every series, no matter what, like struggles after, you know, the eighth iteration.
Yeah.
You know,
Look at Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. all right, great. Covered Madam Hooch and the Harry sexual tension, Master of Giving Head.
Yeah.
We understand how we got the title now.
Yeah.
I think that's just about all I had. Okay, here was a question again from someone who doesn't fully understand the lore.
Yeah.
But all the houses are named after the founders of Hogwarts, as we know.
Yeah.
Salazar, Slytherin.
Yeah. Godric. Yeah. Rowena, Helga.
So they're all hyper aware that Salazar Slytherin hated Mudbloods.
Yes.
And
they still work with him and open a school with him and everything.
They still open a school with him. And they know that he had the basilisk.
I don't know if they knew about the Chamber of Secrets and the basilisk. No.
Okay, because I was like, wow, how did these guys like forgive a genocidal child murderer?
Yeah. So
and be like, oh, we'll keep the name. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they didn't do like a rebrand of Slytherin.
Yeah, I think that, I rebrand it to like Riddle, the next famous Slytherin.
No, Riddle House.
Slytherin, my headcanon for this, which is like your fan chosen theory for
what
it.
You've decided.
Yeah, I think it's sort of been amplified over time, but what I read somewhere and I really liked was that at the time that Hogwarts was being created, that was a time when the Salem witch trials were being held and like in real life people were persecuting people for thinking they were witches and stuff, right?
Right.
So a lot of people think the reason Slytherin didn't like muggles was because they were killing wizards and witches in real life. So he didn't want them to be wizards because they were actually killing people he knew.
Yep.
And that was why he was so hostile to
follow-up question. Yes. Even after the Chamber of Secrets, they know. They're like, okay, clearly he did have a basilisk.
Yeah.
He was a bad influence on the school.
Yeah.
If this book was set in 2020, definitely would have changed the Slytherin name. Like
that's true.
They would have been like, okay, this is probably, you know, he is, you know, Nazi.
Call the house Hagrid. Just as a tribute for expelling Hagrid.
Yeah, 100%.
Give Hagrid another chance.
That would probably hurt all the people in Slytherin. That would be so cut.
Hagrid House. Yeah. Hagrid's the head of Hagrid House. Thank you so much for coming on.
That's a pleasure, man. Yeah.
Will you come on again somewhere towards the end now so you don't have to have another middle chapter like that?
I would be honored. It's a great pod. I love it. So
awesome. Thanks, man. Thank you, Reader Skeeters. We will catch you next week on HP and
The Bee.
That's it. That's the name of the pod. See you later.